From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Cure for Fainting, taking his text from verse 3 of chapter 12 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is entitled The Divine Light in Darkness. The text is Psalm 18 and verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle. It may be that my soul sits in darkness, and if this be of a spiritual kind, no human power can bring me light. Blessed be God, he can enlighten my darkness, and at once light my candle. Even though I may be surrounded by a darkness which may be felt, yet he can break the gloom and immediately make it bright around me. The mercy is that if he lights the candle, none can blow it out, neither will it go out for lack of substance, nor burn out of itself through the lapse of hours. The lights which the Lord kindled in the beginning are shining still. The Lord's lamps may need trimming, but he does not put them out. Let me then, like the nightingale, sing in the dark. Expectation shall furnish me with music, and hope shall pitch the tune. Soon I shall rejoice in a candle of God's lighting. Oh, I'm dull and dreary just now. Perhaps it is the weather, or bodily weakness, or the surprise of a sudden trouble. But whatever has made the darkness, it is God alone who will bring the light. My eyes are unto him alone. I shall soon have the candles of the Lord shining about me, and further on in his own good time, I shall be where they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Hallelujah!
Like a sun, my soul is spreading to illumine all the sky. Comes the Christ into the shadows of a world condemned to die. Great the light that shines in darkness, gracious day spring after night. Christ the gospel truth revealing, drawing sinners to the light.
Fills the
of the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As we've been seeing recently, the spirit of chapter 11 of Hebrews carries over into chapter 12. Dr. Cairns continues dealing with verse 3 of that 12th chapter, the verse which says, "For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." The emphasis throughout chapter 11 is upon living by faith. Indeed, as Dr. Cairns has already demonstrated, even the Lord Jesus Christ carried out his earthly ministry and his death on the cross by faith. As we'll see in the course of this message, it is by faith in the finished work of Christ that Christians receive the grace and the strength to endure in the race that is set before us. Now, Dr. Cairns continues a message called "The Cure for Fainting."
You could then actually use the words, "Consider him," to unlock the mysteries and the message of every section of this great epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. You could go chapter by chapter and consider Christ in the particular revelation and relation that is there set forth. For it's the purpose of the whole book of Hebrews to show forth his glory. You're here today with a burden of sin on your heart. You look in and there's no hope. You look out and there's no hope. Then the scripture is, look up and consider Christ. What think ye of Christ? Make sure you do think of him this morning. Make sure you do consider him today. Don't blunder on the road to a lost eternity with a heart that's hardened and a mind that's darkened and thoughts that are in every foolish thing of the flesh and of the world, but are never settled in Christ. Only Christ is able to save. Only Christ is able to satisfy. Only Christ is able to keep you in life, in death, and bring you to glory. Therefore, consider him. Get your eyes off Christians. So many unsaved people make Christians their excuse to go on to hell. You know, hell will not be any less hell if you go there and find some hypocritical professing Christian in hell beside you. It'll not be any less fearful. So get your eyes off Christians and get your eyes on Christ. Consider him. You're in this meeting this morning and you are a Christian. But oh, you have lost the joy of your salvation. You've lost the vital power to live above sin. And today you're here in awful depths of shame and of defeat, and your heart is heavy and your conscience is accusing. And you say, "Preacher, I have come to Christ, but I am not living in the victory of the Lord." Then, man, look away to Calvary. Consider Christ, for if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is the shepherd who restoreth our soul, who brings us back to the fellowship of our victorious Lord. But this is true not only for sinners and for backsliders, but for every child of God seeking to walk in the will of God and to do the purpose of God and obey the word of God. Consider Christ. I want us today to take these words, not in any topical or general sense through the epistle, but in its strict context. And see what it's saying to us as Christians when it tells us, consider him. Remember that these words are the culmination of a great argument to God's people to be faithful and to endure. Now, that's not a word that's very commonly used among fundamental Bible believers anymore. But he is calling on us to endure hardship, affliction, opposition, persecution, and pain for the sake of the Lord Jesus, and to endure it by faith, not just by willpower, endure to us normally conjures up a picture of misery. Paul does not have any such thought in mind. He is talking about enduring by faith in Christ. In chapter 11, he has given us a whole list of examples of those who have lived by faith and have overcome. You remember as we came to the climax of Hebrews 11, we saw that there were those who by faith could do the impossible. Then we saw that there were those and they didn't get to do the impossible in the accepted sense, but by faith they suffered the insufferable. They endured that which was beyond human ability. By faith in Christ, they were brought through to the glorious climax of a life of dedication to Him. Now then, in chapter 12, he says, as we live our lives, we're like athletes in one of those ancient Greek games. All the victorious runners who have completed their course before us have taken their place in the great crowd of witnesses and of spectators as we make our way to the finishing line. Now, at times our progress is labored. At times our breathing is heavy. At times our will is low. At times our motivation is small. At times it appears that we're rather staggering than running. But as we're making our way to the finishing line, the example of those outstanding heroes of the faith of former times is very encouraging to us. But then Paul comes a little further, for he realizes, as you realize, that we need more than encouragement. You see, we need strength. Therefore, we need more than the remembrance of what Moses did and what Abraham did and what Abel did. We need to have something that will impart grace and power to keep us going forward when every energy of the devil and of the world is exerted against us. Only the Lord can give us that grace, and only faith can receive it. And so therefore, he says, we are to run with patience or with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And now he says, for, or as it may be rendered, moreover, looking unto Jesus. Now, moreover, consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I want you to see what Paul is saying here. He's saying that faith in Christ is the cure for fainting in the Christian life. Consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's look at this cure for fainting. And let me remark first and foremost, and very quickly, a great danger for God's people. He says, lest, here's the danger. Here's something to be in your guard about. Lest you be weary. Lest you be faint in your mind. Now, here are two very important words. The word weary has the literal force of exhausted. It's a word that in itself normally speaks of mental exhaustion and therefore spiritual exhaustion. I don't want to get off the track, but it is interesting that that's the word that is used in James chapter 5 when he's talking about anointing the sick and praying for them. He says, verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the word is literally the exhausted. He's speaking specifically in this passage in James 5 of people who have become mentally and spiritually exhausted. It's the word that's used in the Revelation chapter 2, where the apostle is giving the message of Christ to the church at Ephesus. Verse 3, he says, "Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." That's the word. So it is a word that's describing mental exhaustion. Now he says, faint in mind. The word there is a composite word. There's a little preposition that simply means out or from, and then the verb to loose. It means to loose out or to slacken. To relax. Let me show you what it means. Turn back to the Old Testament. Now, I know that Irish men are dumb, but we're not that dumb that we don't know that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and not Greek. But it was translated into Greek in what should be called the Septuagint version. I'll not try to pronounce that as Americans normally pronounce it. The LXX, that's the easiest way. Give it a Latin abbreviation. And the Greek translation of Joshua chapter 10 and verse 6 is very interesting. The men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, "Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us." Slack not thy hand. When that came to be translated into Greek, the very word that is used here for faint in your mind, faint, is the word that was used. Slacken not your hand. Do not relax your hand. In other words, Joshua, do not let your resolve be weakened. Do not let your vigilance be relaxed. Do not let your promise be broken. Do not let your strength be exhausted. Joshua, slacken not your hand to come and help us. Now that's the very thought that Paul is expressing here when he says, lest you become faint in your mind. Lest you become, and notice the repetition, I said the first word has in it the idea of mental exhaustion. This one doesn't necessarily have in it the idea of mental exhaustion, so therefore he adds the words in your mind. He's dealing specifically with the area, the sphere of the mind of the child of God. And he's saying that you can become tired out. You can become enfeebled through exhaustion. Remember what he wrote to the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9. He says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not." Or quite literally, "For not fainting, we shall reap in due season." This then is the danger to the people of God, that they can become weary, tired, exhausted, become despondent, become faint-hearted. This is the danger. Notice it's a danger that is located first and foremost in the mind. Then it will travel to the will, and then it will be seen in his actions, in his everyday life. Paul is warning us about such a mental and spiritual weakness or staleness as is going to sap our vital energy and our ability to run the race.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.